So open your Bibles with me, Exodus 32, and later we're going to look at Hebrews 13, and we'll get there eventually. In today's day, there's an expectation that you can do whatever you want with no repercussions. But there's always repercussions, isn't there? You with me? There are always repercussions. And if I could, I'll come over here to the teens area, Miss Virginia, see? And point out in a young age, there's always repercussions for every decision you make. What's Newton's third law? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There is always a result for what you do. Whether good or bad, something's going to happen. And we've seen over the years, the sexual freedom, just call it love. Well, that's not biblical love. Okay? We can talk about what biblical love really means, but that's for another day. But we have seen what the sexual freedom has done and the hurt that it has brought. Diseases. Kids without parents. Confused people trying to change their identity. The killing of babies. We've also seen lawless kids because parents just want to be their friends. Wait a minute. No rules, no discipline at home. Oh yeah, maybe there's some yelling and some threats. But discipline means to teach that our punishment is in love and with a purpose. Without it, we see disrespect, we see rebellion, we see ungodly behavior even within the church. We see the crime goes crazy. Because when we do whatever we want, there is repercussions. Many of our cities are not punishing criminals, even releasing them from prison. We've seen that worked out real well, right? The smash and grabs are much bigger. That's when they bust in the windows and just grab what they can and run off. Seen the flash robs, they call it, where a mob will go into a store and everybody grab everything they can and run out the front door. And some of them anymore are not even running. But there's no worry. No one can do anything about it. The carjackings are going up. Why? There's a repercussion. Drug and alcohol freedom, which has caused much destruction, destroyed lives, marriages, death. Well, we could go on with that. But we know that when we go away from God's ways, you with me? Things go downhill real quickly. Real quickly. God always punishes sin because there's always a cost to sin. You with me? There is always a cost to sin. It might be fun for a season, but the end thereof is destruction. So we have been speaking for a few weeks now about idols and idolatry in our lives. So far, in the messages, our main focus was God's command to us in 1 John 5:21. Where he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. You with me? God tells us, keep yourself from idols. An idol is anything in our life that steals our worship, our praise, our focus, our faith, our love from God himself, from Jesus Christ. This might be in your life a possession, or maybe a position that you hold with pride. Maybe it's an attitude or even your character. We talked about that some last week. So if you haven't had a chance, go back and listen or watch as we set up the messages on idolatry. An idol is anything in our life that instead of being used for God's glory, it becomes the center of our attention. We look for it to bring pleasure in our lives and fulfillment and joy and contentment. And last week we spoke of the gods at war for our heart. why God calls us to love Him with all of our heart. And we started talking about some counseling sessions that Pastor Kyle Eidemann shared. This week, he shares of a young lady who grew up in church, and her family had asked him as the pastor to meet with her. They were concerned because she was moving in with her boyfriend, who was an unbeliever. And the sad thing is, many churches will look on this, and I say churches, the people within the church will look on this as no big deal. But this pastor starts to call her. And on the third time he calls, she finally picks up with the teenage attitude. Not that we've ever experienced that with our teens, yeah? It's quiet in here today. I'm going to turn the air conditioner way down. Yeah, okay. Somebody mess with this thing? Oh, no. You guys just got hot bodies. It's warming the space up. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. Someone in here just smiled real big. But this young lady had a concerned family that was broken for and asked the pastor to jump in and help. And this young lady says to the pastor, "I don't know why my parents are making such a big deal about this. It's not really a big deal." So this Pastor Eidemann asked her, "You think that maybe you're making nothing out of a big deal?" And through conversation, he asked her to evaluate the cost of what she is doing. Not a financial cost. That's usually where it comes to when people have come to me to do weddings and they're living together. That is the reason for living together. That's the reason that is given on why we say it's okay. But see, there's more cost to this sinful lifestyle because you're sacrificing your family, is what she was doing. He pointed out to her how she was hurting her family and didn't care how they were hurt and how they felt and how this was going to hurt her future marriage. And he pointed out to her, you with me? Statistically, she would never marry this guy. And really, more statistically, this relationship would not last even if she did marry the guy. That's just statistics. So he started to point out costs. You see the costs for living in sin? And then he asked, "So how will this hurt your future husband if you get married again?" You see the cost again? "How does this set an example for your future kids?" You see the cost? "How will you set up your future and use your life?" And here's what he says to her: "You have sacrificed all you have learned from God's word." And he mentions more cost, but I want you to listen to that. You with me? "You sacrificed all that you have learned for God's word." You see, an idol, a god, is whatever you sacrifice for. It's that you will pursue and go after. It is whatever you see as worthy of worship. And this girl had made an idol out of this relationship, being yoked to an unbeliever. She was willing to sacrifice a whole lot for it. She was worshiping this relationship. We must choose the idols in our life. And if you really want to place God on the throne, we must crush those idols. And it will continue to pop up in our lives, and we've got to continue to crush those idols. Joshua, as he led the Israelites, told him this in Joshua 24:15, "Choose ye this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He says, you pick your God, but you're also going to suffer the repercussions for it. Amen? Here's the good news. You get to pick who you serve, who you worship. Here's the bad news. You don't get to pick the repercussions. As we continue here in Exodus 32, if you turn there, last week we saw the people put a time frame on God. Moses went up into the hill, into the mountain, and he took longer. He took longer to come down than they were willing to allow. So they demanded of Aaron, their priest, to make an idol. And he wasn't man enough. He wasn't faithful enough with God to say no. So he started to do that. And you know what they did? They sacrificed their gold. They went and got all their jewelry out of their wives' ears. That's dumb right there. We talked about that. Took it away from their kids. And he brought it and gave to Aaron. And he melted it down and made a beautiful golden cow. And to this golden cow, just sounds better than saying calf, is where they gave credit for all that God had done for them. Remember the 10 plagues that he brought them out of Egypt? The provision he gave to them as they wandered the wilderness, the protection? They credited this golden calf. They had the feast that God had requested. They gave the offerings to this calf that God wanted. They worshiped and perverted ways that we talked about last week. And today God looks upon them. In Exodus chapter 32, go down to verse 7. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses," remember, they're up in the mountain, and the men the nation at the bottom is worshiping idols. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, we ask for your hand upon each one of us. Soften our hearts that we have a desire to get rid of any idols in our lives. That we would evaluate ourselves, not each other. And Lord, that we would place our focus and our love upon you. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your salvation. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage that we just read, these people did as they wanted, when they wanted, the way they wanted, which sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? But there's always repercussions. Have you noticed when God spoke to Moses, in verse 7, he called them thy people. You notice that? He said thy people. Notice here, God did not refer to them as my people, because the Israelites were people of God. But he was speaking here to Moses, and he says thy people. Moms, you ever said, I don't know whose kids they are. Yeah? Or they're their daddy's kids. You never say that when they're doing something cool, sweet or nice, right? Well, God looks at Moses and says, thy people. Now, he's not being smart with them. But before Moses realizes what's going on at camp, because he doesn't realize the idolatry is going on, God's reminding him of his position, thy people. See, Moses is their leader. He is the one that's to guide them, even when they don't want to be guided. That's tough, ain't it? He is the one that is to love them, even when they're unlovable. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. That's tough. And he's supposed to love them. Moses must remember his purpose, his calling. Because if not, he's going to go down from the mount, and he's going to act upon his emotions, which is never a good thing. We talk about this in Sunday school. Is we're acting upon our emotions. That's never a good thing. It never works out. See, the people were acting in their emotions. They thought God was taking too long. Moses was up in the mountain too long. So what did they do? Let's do what we think is right. Let's serve what we want to do. Let's make what we want as our idol. you will turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. He's reminding Moses of his job and his purpose, much like we have today, that leadership must remember his purpose. Leadership God places over God's church has a purpose, just like Moses did. And so God wants him to realize his responsibility and his purpose. And in Hebrews, here's just a couple verses that I want us to look at. In Hebrews 13, go down to verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation." See, God telling here in the book of Hebrews, he's talking to the Hebrews, the Israelites, saying, stop being like you've always been. And he's saying, listen, remember them that rule over you. Remember your leaders that God has placed in there to lead you, to teach you God's word, to guide you in God's way, to protect you from the attacks of Satan. You with me? Moses, remember your job. They're your people. The leader is one whose faith should be able to be seen in his life. They live what they teach. You with me? A leader should never stand before you preaching God's word if his life does not reflect what he's preaching. Now, any leader is going to slip up in life. He's going to sin because he's in his flesh, but it should be a repentance. You should see that as well. And that's why in this very verse, in verse 7, he tells us whose faith follow. Understand, you see what he's teaching in his own life. And then he goes on, consider the end of their conversation. Listen to their teaching because you know where it comes from, God's word. I hope that you can go home every Sunday. After I've preached, every Sunday night, after a devotion, every Wednesday night when we dig in God's Word, you can say, Pastor spoke from the Word of God. I hope you can say that. Because if I can't, then there's a problem. But if I can, you have the responsibility to accept what was preached. Amen? And that's why Hebrews 13:7 tells us, remember them. Speaking of a godly leader, remember them. This isn't a matter of good old memories. Remember back when. Because, you know, I've heard so much about Pastor Art. I'd like to get to meet him, get some pointers from him. Because he had some way that people loved him. He affected this church in some awesome way that when I get to heaven, we're going to have a sit down. I want to find out what he did and how he did it and where, man, I could have done better. Because, you know, God put a leader here that you love. But he's not saying remember those memories. What he's saying in remember them, it's a matter of remember his position. Remember his calling. Remember who placed him there. Remember his heart. Sometimes we can get our feelings hurt and forget everything the leader has done for you, yeah? Forget the time he's prayed over you. Forget the hospital visits. Forget the stopping at the house. Forget the mailing you whatever. Because he said something I didn't like. This is where we, at some point, it says remember him. And if anything hurtful is said, please know my heart was not the intent to hurt. First off, either I was preaching God's word, which is offensive to our sinfulness, or I was just being stupid again. Either way, I don't want you to go home hurt. Either way, come to me. If it was something stupid, I'd say, I need to apologize and make it right. I'm thankful that just a while back, somebody shared with me that it made them feel weird, something I used to say regularly. Talking about legalism, how I joke about growing up with having to wear a suit and tie to church every Sunday, you know? That's how godly men did it. And I tease about legalism. And it made him feel awkward because when I do it, and I never thought of it in the other perspective. So I apologize. I'm sorry. you know what? I was speaking from my experience. If you like those things, there's nothing wrong with wearing it. You know where it becomes legalism? It's when you start expecting everybody else to do it. Yeah? Just making sure that was on. And so sometimes I'll say something, but I hope you know my heart. And that's what he's telling them, remember them. Our deacons, man, you might say, notice something you don't like about them. I'll promise you, they've been in my office praying for you every week. They might miss some of the weeks, but they're down there. Today we had a great time of prayer again. Their heart wants to minister, to help, to grow. Sunday school teachers, I'm telling you, they ain't missing Sunday school and service because it's fun to get puked on, change diapers, and have kids run circles around tables. Yeah. They're down there because they love your kid and they got a great heart. Amen. Understand, when God puts leaders in positions, he's touched their heart and he wants to see them grow. See, and in remembering who they are, go down there in Hebrews 13, go down to verse 17. If you really focus and remember who they are, look what he says in verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you. Obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For what is unprofitable for you? For that is unprofitable for you. I'm sorry. Woo! When you have a leader that you can see is preaching and teaching God's word, that has a heart for to love you and to build you. We're told to obey and submit. Why? They love us and care for our souls. What they say is out of love and concern. You with me? He wants to guide you in a closer walk, in a more peaceful walk, in the joy of the Lord. Also, that leader will give account for who he's a leader to. He will look God in the face at the Bema Seat of Christ and answer for how he preached and how he taught and how he guided and how he encouraged and how he disciplined and how he built up. You see now what Moses is being told? Moses, remember who you are. Remember your position. With that in mind, verse 17, at the end of it, it says what? That they, the leader, may do it with joy, not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. You make your leader miserable, it's not a benefit to you anymore. You with me? You know, don't make him miserable in his calling, nitpicking and looking for fault. Let him enjoy his leadership that will be good for you, because he can pour out. He can love on you. And I am blessed at this church that God has called me to lead a church that loves me and I love. Thank you. But we see, as God here is talking to Moses and challenging Moses, he's saying, Moses, remember what you're supposed to be. Remember who you're supposed to be. Moses, I'm about to give you some bad news. So keep this in mind. You with me? Mama, you know you got that call from the school before, and you're like, uh-oh. It's worse if it's daddy that gets the call, right? Now what do you do now? You know, first stop and remember, Mom and Dad, who are you? I'm his leader. I'm his guardian dad. You're the pastor of your home. You're the shepherd of your home. And the discipline I'm going to give now is going to be out of love for their good. Ironic, is I got a call from the school the other day. I'm like, and of course, the first thing is, oh no, what's wrong? It was Josiah calling me, so because they take their phones away. So if you turn back to Exodus chapter 32, we see Moses here was woke up by God. Said, listen, remember who you are. Remember your purpose. Remember who these people are, that you love them, you want the best for them. His responsibility and leadership is to guide them and to discipline them in love. Dealing with this idolatry is going to be tough. Why? Because people love their idols. It's in their heart. They invest in their idols. In this case, they invest in their gold jewelry. They worship their idols. How can I live without my idol? And God tells Moses in verse 7, go get thee down for thy people. Stop right there. For thy people. Go. He says, go get down. Go be with them. They need you. Notice here, the second thing we see is God is serious. God is serious. Sometimes it drives me nuts with young parents. Young parents, don't play or giggle when your kids are disobedient. Don't take it lightly. Don't think it's cute when they throw a fit. You're the leader. You're supposed to teach, guide, and discipline them. Because if it's cute now, wait until they're a teenager or an adult. Wait until you get to bail them out of jail. If it's okay now, wait until they're adults. So God says, go, get thee down. See, God, when he's dealing with the Israelites here in this situation, notice he didn't giggle about it and say, oh, boys will be boys. We talked about this before. Will boys be boys? Yeah. And boys were given a rear end for a reason. You got a belt, a stick, a shoe, whatever it takes. You discipline them. You teach them. Okay? God did not joke around here and say, oh, well, the Israelites will be Israelites. They don't feel like obeying right now. No, notice his language here in verse 7. Look at verse 7. They have corrupted themselves. It says, go get with them. They've corrupted themselves. Now, the word corrupted there is not a light word. It's they've made themselves filthy and putrid. The word actually means they polluted or brought filth within themselves. They're spoiled. They're infected. You get the point? They're gross. This is nasty. God didn't say, oh, they made a mistake. Oops. God said, they're nasty. They're gross. They did it to themselves. They didn't want to wait on God. What they do? Lean upon their own understanding. They wanted to do it their own way. They've ignored what God has always told them. They knew better. They knew God did not allow or approve of idolatry, that there was one God that blessed and honored them. And in verse 8, we see God's anger that they made and sacrificed and worshiped to this fake idol, giving credit of his work to this fake cow. They gave their love for God, again, to a cow. An idol, which means an image. In verse 9, God calls them another name. Did you catch that name? A stiff-necked people. Now, God's not talking about you've been looking down too long and you wake up, get up and your neck's hurting, okay? You with me? Some of us get that now because of that cell phone. And they're doing that cell phone. Put that idol down. I mean, that cell phone down. But understand here, this stiff-necked people was a reference to stubborn. That's what the word means. They were stubborn people. They want to do it their own way. They're stuck in their own ways, not having a desire to change. Let me ask, does that reflect some of us and some of our lifestyles? Some of our ways? I don't care what they say. I don't care what he preaches. I don't care what they think. This is me. This is how I was raised. This is how I like it. No amens on that one. We get stuck. You're okay. There we go. See, we're stiff-necked people sometimes. We get so stubborn in our own ways, we don't want to release and give it up. And God calls them stiff-necked people. Why does God let us crash and burn sometimes? God, why did you let me get to this pit? Why did you let my life fall apart? Because sometimes when we're in that pit is the only time we will listen. You with me? You hit rock bottom because rock bottom sometimes makes a great foundation for he who knows how to build a house. So So he'll let you crash until you will listen to him. And in that pit, sometimes the only time you're willing to change, only time you admit, God, I was wrong, I should have listened. Stiff-necked people. In this wording, we see here that God is mad. God is in his wrath. He hates sin, especially idolatry, because it separates the intimacy he has with his people. If you know areas, or maybe the Holy Spirit has shown you some areas, things in your lives, or character in your life, or attitudes in your life, or people in your life that interfere with your relationship with God, that keeps you from being obedient to God, that takes your focus off of God and his word, you might consider crushing some idols. That doesn't always mean getting rid of that person or that thing, but it does mean changing your heart. Because look how God sees these idols. You've seen he just called them some heavy names, and he wasn't just calling them names out of anger. He was referring to them as what they were. They're polluted, nasty people. They're stubborn in their own ways. And he doesn't stop there. He says, look, you know what they deserve? Here's the third thing. What they deserve. Look at verse 10. Now therefore, this is God speaking to Moses, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Tells Moses, go down to his people. Go ahead and head down there. Remember, he reminds Moses, your responsibility. You love them, you build them, you guide them, you teach them. I've given them every chance. I've done everything for them. Tells Moses, go down to his people. Now, after what God just said about those people, would you want to be with those people? Yeah, I want to hang out up here on the mountain for a little bit. That okay? Because, see, God just shared here in verse 10, let my wrath get ready for what I'm about to do to them. And he says, I will consume them. Their sin deserves complete destruction. You with me? That's right, they're horrible. You are too. Remember the idols on your heart? Very personal, isn't it? The idols in our heart, I mean, we can go through each other's. I can point out idols in your life. But then we remember David's words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Why? Because once I let God guide me and clean me, then he says, I took the pole out of my own eye. I can help you take splinters out of yours. But I start here, judging the idols in my life. What deserves to be consumed and destroyed in my life. Doing this, God would start over with Moses, he promised there. If when I consume them, I'll start over with you, Moses. I'll start off creating a whole new group of people that I'll call my own people. And this would keep his promise to Abraham to create the great nation through his line. You see the seriousness of sin? The seriousness that God has here? Anything that's caused me to sacrifice is a God. You with me? You seeing this? What do I sacrifice my Bible time for? Well, God, I just haven't had time to read my Bible this week. Well, what have you sacrificed for that time? Well, I just don't have time to go to church anymore. What are you sacrificing for that time? Didn't have time to do this for the Lord. I don't have time to serve. Let's be careful. That's priority. What am I sacrificing? Anything that takes my focus and my obedience away from God. Each of us have and do violate this law as we walk as sinners. But we can thank God, though. You with me? Each of us have violated this, and we have idols in our lives. Because the law points to our sin. And we all know that we have sinned. Understand here that the Lord tells us what the primary law of all the scripture is, right? of all the laws. When they tried to catch Jesus, we talked about this with teens a little bit last night. When they tried to catch Jesus and make him look stupid, catch this, try to make the creator of all the universe look stupid. That's smart, okay? Try to make him look stupid. Well, if you're so smart, Jesus, what's the greatest command in all of scriptures? There's like 600 and some odd commands in scripture. And Jesus summed it up very quickly for him. What is it? Love the Lord thy God. Let me ask you, how many of you, think it through before you raise your hand, truly have loved the Lord thy God with all your heart? Don't raise your hand. Because if you do, you messed up. We don't. We have sinned against him. We violate him daily. But remember, why does he say that? That's a law. What is the purpose of the law? To show us our sinfulness. I fail God every day. He loves me completely. And never failed at that. And I'm trying to grow my love for him, but I fail him every day. I fail him by sinning. I fail him with my focus. I fail with my thought life. I fail him with, you see, we can go on. What was the purpose of the law? To show you that you have sinned against the holy God. Thank God that he gave us the law so that we can know this. And because of this, because we have violated him, we deserve the same death the Jews do. You remember, God says, I'm going to consume them. Well, you know what? You haven't loved God with all your heart either. You deserve death. For the wages of sin is, Scripture tells us very clearly, you and I deserve damnation, hell, separation from God for all eternity because we violated the holiness of God. You with me? And yet we praise God. Why? In God's love, he sent an intercessor. He sent Jesus Christ, who shed his holy blood to pay for your sinfulness. He's the only one that can make us whole. The only one that can place us on the righteous path. The only one that can love us enough to make reconciliation for us with the Father. Even though we have fallen to idolatry, God loves us enough to send salvation to us. Can I get an amen for that one? We should be thankful that in our failures, God says, I've got a better way. You've still got hope. Not because of what you did, but because of what I'm going to do for you. Next week, we're going to look at the intercessor. You go ahead, read ahead. Study this. I don't mean right now. Go home. Open up. Read. Study. Because it means so much to you when you've studied it first. And we come preach. The Holy Spirit can really use that in your life. But would you stand with me? We're going to close in a song today. Sing about the one that took the blame for us. The only one that can make us whole. The one that in spite of our sins had mercy on us and poured out grace. He went to the cross and let his holy blood be shed for us. And even though you and I have violated him, and the sad part is we're going to do it again. We're going to walk out these doors, and maybe before we walk out, we're going to have something in our life that doesn't honor God. Words that come out of our mouth, thoughts that go through our head, disobedience. And what does he demand from us? Just repent. Turn back. But if you've never placed faith in him in the first place, never truly called on his name for salvation, he wants to offer salvation to you. And if you want to stay after church, if you have questions, I would love to talk to you on how you can place faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and sing this song at Calvary. ask you that seriously. Have you truly come to the cross and cried out to Jesus, save me, for I am a sinner? Have you humbled yourself, broken, realizing your need for salvation? If not, I tell you this, you will be consumed by the all-powerful God. And yet, if you come humbly by faith to the cross of Jesus, He pays for your sins. He pardons your sins and brings you reconciliation with the Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? Let me close a little bit different.